Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Autism and Scouting Radio, your source for acceptance, enrichment, inspiration, and empowerment within the Autism and Asperger's Scouting communities. Our show will be starting shortly. To listen to archives of previous broadcasts, visit www.autismempowerment.org and click on the Autism and Scouting or Autism Empowerment Radio tab. As a nonprofit charity, we rely on public generosity to fund our programs, special events, support services, and radio broadcasting. Thank you for considering a tax-deductible donation today. Our show is now beginning.
Hi, welcome back to Autism and Scouting Radio. My name is John Krejcik, and I'll be your host today. Autism and Scouting Radio is part of the Autism and Scouting program, which is a featured program of Autism Empowerment. To get more information about Autism Empowerment and our Autism and Scouting program after the broadcast, please visit us at www.autismempowerment.org or join us on Facebook and Twitter. If you're interested in upcoming broadcasts or listening to any of the previous broadcasts in archive or via podcast, we have more information available on the website as well. We're getting some really outstanding responses from some of the from the first two broadcasts that we had with Tony May and with Sean Williams from the Firefox District and his amazing race for autism. I invite you to go back and listen to the podcast. It's really amazing for what all of these scout leaders are doing across the nation. Our first guest was from California, then we popped to St. Charles, Illinois. Now we're coming back here to the Northwest here in Portland, Oregon. Today's guest is another amazing scouter. We're just so blessed to have so many great scouters out there and a large supporter of the work that we're doing here at Autism and Scouting, and a big supporter of scouts on the autism spectrum as well. He's a Cubmaster. He was a former Tiger Den leader. He's currently the training chair for the district that he volunteers in. And he does many different kinds of training throughout our council. He has also obtained his woodbed beads and is a beaver as well. Like our last guest, Sean Williams, he was a beaver. And he also served, our current guest, Adam Cox, also served as a wood badge troop guide in 2011. I did not want to tell you that he did want to tell me that he's kind of addicted to roundtables and anything scouting, and just kind of on a funny note, he threw in that he was a platinum member at the Holiday Inn and MVP for the Alaska Airlines. He travels a lot as well. He does a lot of great blogging as well and does an amazing job. His blogs can be read at scouteradam.wordpress.com. Just on a quick personal note, both of he and I have a lot of common similarities as far as our scouting background. We both were in scouting for 1 year, both as a wolf. I think I have a great sense of humor. I know he does. And he was a Tiger Den leader, and I'm not currently a Tiger Den leader. So with that, we're going to bring on Adam. Welcome, Adam.
Hi, John. Thanks for having me on the blog talk radio show.
Well, thank you for joining us. Like I said, you've done such an amazing job with your current blog at scouteradam.wordpress.com. I read it all the time. That and Jerry Scheinling's Scoutmaster Minute, both are on my top 10 reads whenever they come out. So thank you for all that you do for scouting.
Oh, thanks.
To start off, you'd only been, like myself, in scouting for 1 year as a youth. A lot of times we see scout leaders that have been in for a long time as a youth. They go into Boy Scouts. A lot of them have reached Eagle themselves or have gone quite far. When you were looking for a program for your son, why was scouting so jump out at you as something to get your son involved in?
You know, going back, because I was a wolf, and I'll date myself back here, is 1976, back in the Montana Council. in Billings, Montana. So that's one large council, the whole state. And, you know, I knew that I had a pretty good time the first and only year there. And I just have known that Scouts was such a great thing because I've got several friends who made Eagle, didn't make Eagle. And I've known several people, you know, like during college and after college, they were like, oh, you're a Scoutmaster, or you're, you know, they call everybody a Scoutmaster, whether you're a Scoutmaster or not. And it just, the values that Scouting has, the leadership and the character building that it does, but outside of that, all of the fun things that you get to do. So I looked at Scouting when like, oh, I'm having a boy. I'm like, great. In like 6-7 years, we can sign up and do this. And it was a program that I knew that I would get him into just because of all the fun that he could have. And I knew later that the leadership, he needs a lot of leadership anyway, just in the normal day-to-day, being a boy and being a parent, does. But it was just a program that I knew that we'd have all these different opportunities to go have fun. And that was the main thing. And plus, he would have his friends at school, and this was just another thing that he could do, whether he had soccer or baseball or whatever else that he was into. It was just another group activity that he could keep going along and getting into to do. So I don't think there was really any question in my mind that he wouldn't do it.
Right. Yeah. I totally agree with you, and I'm right there with you. Now, your son has Asperger's, in addition. How have you seen Scouting help him overcome his areas that he has challenges in?
Well, okay. So Asperger's, it's kind of a mix, really. I think he's a little ADHD, and Asperger's. When he was getting diagnosed, and you know, that to me was like, what? My son has what long name of this? I can't even pronounce it.
I think a lot of people can relate to that.
Yeah. And so there was a lot of shock and awe and disbelief and stuff like that. So there was a lot of learning to go on with it. And then, you know, in going through that process of meeting with the doctors and all that, I was like, you know, I bet that was me. Hey, that sounds like me. And my wife's just kind of looking at me and goes, yeah, that is you. So I'm like, okay. So I think he has a blend of just Asperger's and ADHD and all that, just to kind of clarify that part. So so I like to say on the spectrum, because every child, because girls obviously have it too, has a mix. You're either highly functioning or you're not really functioning at that level. So the learning aspect of that, and kind of giving parameters and looking for the signs of like, okay, yeah, we know he's tired, but this is kind of the danger area of we need rest or we need food or, you know, those warning signs that you see as a parent. And sometimes you forget as a parent that your son or child has that. And because I still do. And I'm like, oh, come on. And they're like, oh, this is part of it. What Scouting has done for me with being on the spectrum, it's given me more guidelines and structure of how to do things, because I can show him or even just tell him, here's the 5 steps that we need to do to get this badge or belt loop or get this activity done. And, you know, there are guidelines of how to act socially. Because not mm-hmm. everybody in his den, he's a Weeblo 2 now, it helps him be social and get the interaction of, like, this is good behavior, this is acceptable behavior, this is not socially acceptable behavior, and things like that. And he gets that. And I have to remember that, yes, he's a 10-year-old boy. He'll be 11 towards the end of the year. And he's in fifth grade, and he is a boy. And they're just wired differently, obviously, anyway. And I have to put myself in his shoes to say, what was I doing at 10 years old? Oh, yeah. And get back to that and remember that he's on the spectrum. But take the scouting structure and kind of apply it to there. Because he really, as you know and the listeners know, structure is a very wonderful thing.
Absolutely.
And I really like structure as well. I don't always follow the structure, but if I have the guidelines of A, B, C, and D, then I can track progress and he can track progress. And that's what scouting provides for him and others, and it's just, yeah.
Okay.
Does
he have what was has been his biggest challenge that you've seen so far in scouting? For example, my son, when he goes on outings or is eating, that's a huge issue for him. And sometimes participation in group activities can be a struggle for our oldest. Or our youngest, sometimes it's wanting that to be in the front of the line if he's not first and things like that. So there's definitely struggles that we find in trying to on our side. And do you see that very much? And how has he overcome those types of things?
Yeah, the eating aspect is school foods. I mean, he definitely has his food that he likes. It's very textual. You know, he won't eat certain things. He has to, like, if there's fat, I mean, he eats no bacon, but he needs to eat bacon. He doesn't like fat on the food. He likes them separated. He eats a ton of hamburgers, I think, just like any other kid, a lot of taquitos. So there's his favorite foods that he likes. At camp, you know, he'll make a lot of peanut butter and jelly sandwiches or peanut butter mm-hmm. and honey sandwiches. And it's based, and I can't remember the name of the drug that he is on because he is on a drug. It's not Ritalin or anything like that. So that has an appetite suppression component to it. So during middle school, he'll eat some of his food, sometimes not all of it. He'll come home and snack. Plus, he loves the hype food in these Nugo chocolate bar, energy bar things. He'll eat that. So there is that aspect to it. So we have to constantly push him towards eating the right food. A little bit more so than I think normal kids. The activity side of it, He loves to direct, kind of be a little bit in control. Sometimes he doesn't get those social cues of, hey, you're not doing, you know, there's no middle ground. It's kind of like my way, or we have to be doing this exact same thing that we like, and then I'm fine with it. So he's a little obsessive on that side. He can take cuts, you know, in front of people, but he can be very incredibly compassionate and caring at the right time. He can see some of his friends just completely lose it over, you know, not being in the right spot that they want to be in for shooting BB guns. And he's like, no, no, here, you take my position and I'll move over here. So they're really, he's incredibly compassionate at the most perfect times. And it's wonderful to see. And, you know, I'm not sure if that's part of Asperger's. I think that's just a part of him.
Right.
So.
That sounds like he's really doing a lot of wonderful transitions and that kind of thing, especially when I think within the scouting world, like you mentioned, that structure is so so prevalent throughout as far as advancements and things like that. It sounds like he's doing pretty well.
he's not doing too bad. Go ahead.
I don't know, so what do you see as his biggest accomplishment so far?
Within scouting?
Yes. It's kind of hard to say.
Yeah, you know, it's, I have to preface all this by saying I really have had to kind of pull back from being that uber scouter parent, because I am the cub master, I am the Kayla, so I have had to learn to pull myself back, especially last year. I mean, he's got 10 out of the 20 Weeblow pins. Most of the boys have about 5 to 6, and that's just because, hey, we're traveling, we're going from point A to point B, let's talk about that. Oh, hey, you just earned the traveler pin, or we've done the Aquanaut and things like that, a little bit ahead of schedule, just because we were doing that already. So I've really ratcheted myself back on that aspect. That being the case, he is, he likes scuba diving. He wants to do that because he's an incredible swimmer. He loves snorkeling. We've gone kayaking at a cabin that we go to in Montana, because I still have family there. So he's into kayaking and canoeing. Water, obviously. He's not a huge hiker. So he likes those, you know, obviously archery and BB guns. So he likes getting out and exploring and doing different things. That's what he likes doing.
It's been really wonderful. The scouting's been wonderful for him. We're going to change gears a little bit because you are also the district training chair for your district.
Yes.
And we talk a lot about on the show invisible disability versus the visible disability. You know, meaning that, you know, if you see someone with a cane, you can kind of assume that they're blind, or if they're in a wheelchair, it's pretty prevalent that that person has some type of disability. A lot of times those on the autism spectrum, it's an invisible disability there, where there's no apparent disability until you get to, you know, meet with the child or the scout and go forward. How do you see that as a challenge within your district as far as providing training to scout leaders?
Okay, so yes, I am the district training chair for Pioneer District in our council, Cascade Pacific, just to get that out there. And I have been that now for a full year. I've done 2 Cub Scout trainings, because that's where I focus my side of life as being a trainer. The way I approach it is when I'm giving the trainings, I do mention that my son is on the spectrum, that he has an individual education plan, or IEP, whatever 3 other acronym that people go by.
Right.
And so I put that out there because sometimes people don't want to come forth and say, hey, I'm on, you know, the spectrum too, or my family is, or they are in a den or troop or whatever of people who are on the spectrum as well. And that really opens up the discussion. And I don't have a separate learning plan for people to say, oh, if you have this, do A, B, and C. If you are, do A, B, and C. I really open up the discussion to see what they're going through and what challenges that they have. And I obviously say, you know, this is just not a one-day deal of a training seminar. You can contact me at any time because I'm here for you anyway. And people have reached out a couple of times for that. So what I generally walk people through is, I'll say, you know, obviously have a structure, not just for the parents, but for the kids as well. Give them, you know, we're going to be doing this, and, you know, we've got 5 minutes, and then we're going to do something else. I really kind of lay the groundwork for them of how to proceed through a meeting. And it's not just, you know, the craft that they're doing, because I still go to roundtables and wait for my Cub Scout roundtable commissioner to show me the latest cool thing that you can do with a glue gun. you know, because that's the bonus for any scouting program is getting new ideas. But I will tell people, plan it out, have this, and really be patient with the boys. And over the year and over the months that you are in the den, or the pack or whatever scout unit that you're in, you'll come to learn more and more about the boys. And also talk to the parents. You know, just say, hey, I see this, you know, how's he doing in school? And obviously that can be a touchy subject, you know, depending on the circumstances. But, you know, as you come together as a scout parent to another scout parent, you will come to understand, and those bits of information can be released because there's that whole, you know, non-disclosure confidentiality type stuff that goes on, and you obviously have to gain the trust of everybody.
Right, that tends to be another big issue that we kind of try to address is the privacy issue. You know, who, if you have a scout personally with on the spectrum or any type of disability, you know, who should you tell in your unit? Who do you think in the unit should know about a scout's, you know, autism or disability? Within a particular,
you know,
like in a Cub Scout format.
Yeah, I'm pretty vocal about it. I mean, I'm not going to stand up in the middle of a pack meeting and say, "Hey, my son's on
right,
the spectrum."
Right.
And I'm not going to, you know, maybe in a committee meeting, I might say, "Well, you know, Elliot has a individual learning plan, and there's the code words that you can."
Mm-hmm.
You can say, and then other parents who understand, oh, you know, then you get your own little club. So I would say,
well,
since we're in this format, I would say, talk to the den leader, let him know of what's going on. I would say, I'd almost approach it as, you know, my son has a peanut allergy or something. It's like, look, you're going to be the leader of this group. You need to be aware of what's going on with my son, so you don't get frustrated, that type of thing. But I probably would not come out and tell all of the scouts. I'd let them. And plus, a lot of them are going to be buddies anyway.
Right. So my thought process was always to tell the Cub Master, first of all.
Yes.
The committee chair, because they're, you know, they should be knowing what's going on within their unit, and then the den leader. I mean, would you agree with those three?
Yes. Yeah,
and then,
I would agree with that.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what kind of my mentality always was, especially within the Cub Scouting program, and within the Boy Scouting program, it's a little bit different because there's so many assistant scoutmasters. And in that case, what I've done personally, initially I told the scoutmaster and the committee chair, and then as needed, if there was an assistant scoutmaster running an activity such as a camping outing, that I would tell them as well. And just kind of let my oldest kind of be able to go with the flow and integrate, if you would, just like any other child.
Yeah, and since my son's not in the Boy Scouts yet, that sounds logical to me. I might even say when they come up for boards of review, maybe just to let the people, they'll be in the, within the troop level, obviously, the boards of review, and say, this is what's going on. So you might, I don't want to say give them leniency, but have more understanding of this particular rank was hard for you because why? And I don't say grill them a little bit more, have leniency a little bit more, but have the understanding of, like, you know, this swimming thing was a little more troublesome for them because they have a fear of water, which obviously any scout could have. That's like first class requirement.
Yeah, I mean, the privacy thing is just huge because there's so many red flags, especially in Cub Scouts. I mean, in Boy Scouts, you have wandering issues, and there's a lot of, obviously it's the safety of your unit first, and then, obviously the safety of each individual member as well.
Right, yeah, and there is, and I'm just kind of focusing on Elliot with kind of the Asperger side, because he's more higher functioning than some of the other scouts can be. So I understand on the autism side, you have that wandering aspect to it. So at that point, that's a safety concern. And so I would say more people at that point need to be aware of, this scout has a tendency to wander. We just need to, keep eyes on him a little bit more than the other boys. So, yeah.
This has been awesome. We have about 2 minutes left. Is there anything that you could, it goes by really quickly.
yeah.
Is there anything like you'd like to share, a story or something that you could pass along to our listeners that might be of help? What you've given so far about the training and whatnot is, I think, so right on. But here, you go ahead and share something with our audience.
Sure. I would say, with my experience of just learning about Asperger's and being on the spectrum, I was very defensive to have my son labeled, because it's like, why is my son being labeled? What's going on? Because you have the fear of him or daughter being channeled into directions you don't want to be, because you hear all the horror stories. Do the homework. Get out and talk to people. Find out what spectrum support, sensory support that you have within your district, your council, whatever. Obviously, if you found this blog, radio, talk show, you found your Facebook websites and things like that. Get the training. I would say, if you're comfortable, tell your story, and that's why I'm here, is just to say, I'm aware of what's going on within my son, and now I have seen a community of people who are on the spectrum in scouting, and it's talk about it, try to get training or become a trainer within your district or council to say, I'm really good at this because my son or daughter is on the spectrum because they're in venturing. Girls can do, Boy Scouts too. It's called venturing or Sea Scouts.
I got 5 seconds, so sorry to cut you off there. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks.